ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to We Heart Worry.
This is a podcast. And it's a comedy podcast about worrying.
Yeah, anxieties. I'm Yasmin Akram.
I'm Philippa Dunn.
Phil, yeah. I was just thinking this week, well, last weekend, should I say, I went to your worst nightmare. I was thinking about you the whole time.
Where?
So I went to Galway.
That's not my worst nightmare.
No.
No.
Let me elaborate and go on from that bit.
Yeah.
So first of all, sidebar, Jumbo is saying I was going to be frightened to flying.
Yes.
Absolutely fine.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely fine. And I think maybe because I talked about it and I knew that I wanted to be cooler and more relaxed, I was fine. There was a small skid as we landed in Galway. A little bit of a wheel went wobbly.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, fuck, this is going to now screw me because I was so relaxed.
It was all going so well.
But then going the other way back to London, I was grand. I went to the Galway Hearts Festival.
Okay.
And saw some shows. Saw my friend Fergal's show starring Simone Kirby, his wife. Yes. And it was very brilliant. But so my friend Gillian, her best friend Yvonne joined us. I have to do it like this so everyone gets named. And Yvonne's friend Adam runs the festival, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, do you want to come to this exhibition? It's like, it's in the newly made art gallery they made in the centre of town.
Mm.
Everyone has been queuing around the block for this, but because I run the thing, I'm going to close it and let you guys come after hours.
Wow.
So we were like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I was kind of interested, but I didn't really know what it was about. Got there.
Mm.
The exhibition was called In the Flesh by an artist called, I think it's Sam Jinks. And Phil, right, I went around the corner and it was statues.
No, thank you very much.
But it was, they were so lifelike that when you went up to them.
No. Can I stop you there? I know I can't stop you there because
you could see like the veins.
Oh.
I mean, it was absolutely amazing because the gallery was empty.
Yeah.
Like when I go up to one of the sculptures, I would expect them to move.
Oh, you see, that's the problem.
And I just went, Philippa Dunn. Philippa Dunn is somewhere.
I wouldn't go in the room without being hooked up to a drip a rescue remedy. Now, I need someone holding the hand. I'd probably need to be wheeled in and restrained. And then afterwards, I'd need an intensive course of psychotherapy because I don't know if I've said this before, I can't do statues.
No, I know that. I know that about you. And I know even the most kind of non-human statue freaks you out. These were human statues. Well, I don't know if the artist might not like me calling them human statues. There might be, but they were so lifelike that I think that would have just, because I was really creeped out by them.
Oh.
And there was a point where they were amazing. They were so beautiful.
Yeah.
And at one point, they were all out kind of in the open, in this main bit.
Okay.
And then I went around the corner and there was,
a surprise statue.
But wait, you hear what it was.
Yeah.
It was this long black corridor with these orbs of light all the way down it.
Okay.
And then at the end, an angel.
No, I see. I've got a problem with that. I've got a big problem with that. I know it's only in my head in a visual form at the moment, but
right.
That's causing me a problem in my mind.
I have it as a screensaver on my phone. I won't show you because I don't want to trigger you, but it was so beautiful that I almost cried.
Oh God.
Because it was just me. I was on my own experiencing it in a room, you know. So that was it was like a really weird scene in a movie.
Mm.
And so I was standing at the end and there was this massive, like, long stretch of water and the angel was bent down with a cup and taking water out of this little black pool.
Mm.
So it was kind of gothic but also very beautiful. But what would be your problem with that?
Okay, well, where do I start? No, you see, a huge part of me would love to see that because it sounds bloody gorgeous. And I'd love to see the level of realism that the artist got in the sculptures. And I would be bowled over by that, I'm sure, because I've got a big art appreciation bone in my body.
Mm-hmm. It's a massive one.
It's massive.
It's down the... It's called the spine.
It's called the spine and the spinal column. And so I'll probably be tempted to see pictures if you took any.
Right. I did just take the one because I also... I'm not great at taking photos. Okay. And also, they're shit. So there's nothing to be frightened of.
Photos
because,
are.
Yeah. Okay. But I just... As soon as I walked around the corner, the first thing that came into my mind was Philippa Dunn.
You see, I'm sorry. You see... Okay, there's a place... Yeah, statues exist, but don't put them sneaking around a corner, right? Don't put them where you turn the corner and you go, oh, didn't know you were there. Ah, Dad. You know, because I don't know if it's phobia. I just don't deal well with them.
They're, no, but I think that's fair enough. I also like the way that you said statues exist. Like you've come to accept that they are there.
Yeah. You see, I'm a frequenter of museums and I know they're part and parcel and I do enjoy a statue when I look at it afar in the company of somebody else. But right. I could, like you walking down that corridor on your own, yeah. I could, no, there'd be no such thing. There was one time I was in the National Museum in Dublin mm-hmm. back in the day and I went on my own. Fun times. And this is the level of partying now that I'd be getting up to. And I went, on my own. And I needed to go from one room to the next. I wanted to go into their Egyptology section.
Oh.
And but the only thing that was stopping my journey was they have these medieval wooden painted religious statues, basically. Yeah. And I couldn't walk past them on my own. And I was hanging around waiting for people to just come along. And I was like,
so they could buffer you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was trying to join groups and I was trying to like follow people in. And a few times I was aware that I was coming across as a bit too weird. So I gave up on the whole tagging along situation at the last minute. So I was stuck there for a good 25 minutes.
Can I ask, was there any point where you went on a theme park experience where someone jumped out at you? A ghost train situation, I'll call it, Phil.
No, I think I know what it's from. It's from being in a church late at night when I was very small and seeing some really old painted statues and just
freaked out.
Yeah, because it was like a torchlight situation and like the torch would just scan across a face and I think I'd kind of lost my mind.
Were you, and you don't have to say yes or no, but were you in the Goonies?
No, I was not.
Okay, because that sounds like a very Goonie type situation.
I think that the whole thing about it is, and I should find the name for this actually, because I think it's a thing, but you touched on it there, was it's because they look so real.
Yes.
And they're not real.
Yes.
And you're just expecting them to kind of maybe move at any moment. It's something that looks human, is the size of a human and has all human attributes.
Yeah.
But it's not human. Yes. That's the terrifying thing.
Yeah, well then don't go and see this artist's work because it's frightening how human they are.
I still would like to see pictures of it.
Yes. There was two tiny babies, right, next to each other. Mm. Like their little faces were, and they had their little feet crossed over and their little bums. Mm. And I was saying to my friend, I just want to I want to cover them. Like I want to lie on them.
Such was the realism.
It was, yeah. And it was that thing of, I don't know if it's, you know, just because you're an animal. But it was like my brain was going, small animals, small babies, small pieces of humanness. Mm. Pick them up and run.
Mind them, yeah.
I just wanted to take them in my arms and just head out the door.
God, I want to see it now.
It was, yeah, it was very, and there was other, like I won't ruin it for people who've seen it, but it was absolutely stunning. And there was aspects of it which I won't go into which were kind of deeper than they look really lifelike, but it was absolutely stunning. It was one of those things I think I'll remember forever. But it would freak you out, but I just wanted to bring that up because it was on my mind. It's not a worry, but it's one of your worries, but it's not
I think that's a phobia.
Yeah,
I think so.
I might as well on that note move into my worry of the week. It's kind of like a two-parter. Well, it's just two examples of the same thing, which is the first one is, so I don't know about you, but you know that we can't trust the weather app on your phone.
Oh, you can't.
You can't. You're looking at it and you're going, but it doesn't feel 15. Oh, it feels at least 22.
I've been having an ongoing argument with that weather app now since last Thursday because it's given me consistently wrong information.
Yeah, it's like I always feel it's a little bit at the moment just bacon. Like I'm just hot all the bloody time.
Yeah.
And so what I'll do is I will look out the window before I make my clothing choice of the day. See, today is going to be a slow brain day. I can't even think of the word choice. And I will look around for people to see what they're wearing.
What's she wearing?
Yeah. And see what, you know, is it a skirt? Are they wearing a light jacket? Are they just going T-shirt? Are they going strapless vesty top thing?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I will make my clothing decision based on what the footfall in front of my house has been. And then I will leave. And if I've gotten it wrong because of that, I will be angry with those people. But then my worry is...
Those people...
My worry is that somebody will have looked out their window and seen me.
Oh.
And I will, based on the stupid, because I always make a stupid choice.
You made the wrong choice.
Because also, I have to admit, if someone's wearing like a jacket, I'll go, oh, well, they've obviously gotten a little bit wrong because it looks a bit warmer. I'm not going to wear a jacket. Or if somebody's like in a vest top, I'll go, I don't think it's vest top weather. I'll wear a cardigan. So I'm always, it's not like I really trust the people. I will blame them if I've gotten it wrong.
But a rough guideline.
A rough guideline.
Yeah.
But just the fact that I think that somebody's looking out their window going, she's got a cardigan on. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Yeah. And if you had worn that, if you'd worn that cardigan out of worry that like later you might be chilly.
Yeah.
You're throwing everything out of whack because it could be 28, 29 degrees. It could,
and then, you know, I always carry quite a small bag with me. So I'm going, that's the car.
Now I better wear it.
Got to wear it now because I'm not tying it around the waist.
Yeah, I wore a jumper out of worry and fear last year. It was an October day, so I thought I was kind of safe in wearing my jumper.
Yes, yeah. Was it balmy, Phil?
Well, turns out it was really friggin' balmy. And I was wearing a really chunky heavy knit.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was early October. Got into town. You know it's laborious getting into town. You sweat of an average day getting into town anyway.
Listen, but, it's look London. It's wall-to-wall heat.
By the time I met up with my friend, I was a puddle. And she says, nice jumper. I says, yeah, but I'm actually close to dying.
Listen, I'm dripping.
Yeah. So if somebody had taken my lead on that day, apologies. Sorry, I got it really wrong.
No, but you see, now what you're doing is you're apologising. It's not our fault. It's not our responsibility.
No.
But it's the same time, and then leading on from that, Phil, if I'm at the bus stop, right, and I'm waiting for my bus, and I see someone sitting at the bus stop, but they're looking at their phone, and then a bus comes along that is not my bus, I start panicking that it's their bus, and they haven't seen it because they're on their phone, and maybe they might blame me because...
No. They have no leg to stand on there.
Well, yeah.
But you want to do the tap, tap, tap on the shoulder going,
Is this your bus because you'll miss it?
By the way, is that your bus?
Because, and then I find myself kind of like trying to startle them to lift their heads up. So I'll be like,
slapping them. Or just slapping yourself.
Just doing a clap in the air.
Oh.
Like that.
Yeah.
Or stamping my feet.
Yeah.
Of course, as you did, the obligatory cough. Yeah.
Fake sneeze.
Yeah. Or sometimes singing along with the song that I'm listening to quite loudly. just to rouse them.
Yeah.
And then they'll look up and go, oh, I don't need that. But it's...
What if they look at you instead of the bus, though?
Well, they're going to because I'll probably be giving it some.
But then when they look at you, you just do a point of going, yeah, look at the bus.
The bus is here.
This your bus?
Is this your bus?
That's a perfect segue. Yeah, you wouldn't come across as...
demented.
No.
Now you come across as really normal, wouldn't you? Yeah,
absolutely.
But it's I mean, I've been working on this kind of stuff in therapy, as you could imagine. It's like it's taking responsibility for something that isn't my responsibility.
Yes.
And you know, that goes way back, way, 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 way back to my childhood.
Good tool for that. I don't know if you've encountered this on your journey. The responsibility pie chart.
Now, you have mentioned this to
me. Am I always banging on about the responsibility?
Explain it for people who might need it.
Pie chart. I don't know. Do we all know? It's a circle.
If people don't know what a pie chart is at this stage, they're very, very young.
Well, they could have forgotten. I mean, how many times have you used a pie chart since you left school? No, realistically.
But it's always been etched in my mind, maybe because I like pies.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a circular chart.
Mm. Yeah. It might stick in your mind more if it's called a pizza chart.
Yeah, or a cake chart.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine, if you will, a pie chart, which is an empty circle.
Yes.
It's a circle, yeah. Sorry, I said a word the last day and someone corrected me and they're like, sorry, it's actually a rhombus.
Who said a rhombus to you?
It wasn't rhombus, it was something else. I described a shape. They'd corrected me on the shape and I was like, how long have I been calling that shape?
It's definitely a circle.
It's definitely a circle.
Good. But also,
just checking.
Like, don't tell me that you were saying, like if you were using the reg shape words, like triangle, rectangle, circle, and someone goes, oh, excuse me, it's a rhombus.
No.
Fuck them, sorry.
No, do you know what it was?
Well,
it was in relation to a circle, and I called it, I said width or something. And I was corrected on, no, it's actually diameter or circle. I don't know.
Was it a nice person who corrected your
Very nice person.
Right.
So it's fine. Look, it's fine.
It's definitely a circle. It's not, because they'd call it a rhombus chart. But,
again, just goes back to, on a day-to-day, how often in my line of work am I going to be using those terms?
No. But I think from, and I get that, but I think that you know what a pie chart is.
Yes.
And I think...
it's a circle.
Yeah. But let's say rhombus chart, just to cover all bases.
Well, no, because we need a visual on this. So okay, it's a circle.
It's a circle.
Like a pizza.
Like a pizza.
Or a pie or a cake.
Yeah. And then if someone goes, well, a pizza can be a square, you need to shut this fucking podcast off.
We're talking about a pizza in the shape of a circle.
Yes, yeah.
And it's empty. There's no toppings on it. There's no cheese. There's no tomato. There's no mushrooms. There's no onions. There's nothing on this pizza.
Circle. Go, Phil.
Go. Empty circle.
Explain the
job. Oh, Jesus Christ. Give me a scenario. Picking what to wear in the morning.
Yeah.
Is this correct?
Picking what to wear in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, this won't work.
Okay. The bus is coming along and it's not my bus.
Yes. The bus is coming along. I think it might be the other person's bus. Should I tell the other person?
Yeah.
What's my responsibility in this scenario? Right. Bus is coming. And then you start to fill in the empty circle.
Mm-hmm.
And you put in yourself last.
Right.
So.
Bus.
So.
32%.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the driver has to have some responsibility to slow down a bit when he sees people at a bus stop.
So you're given that 32%. Right, fill in your pie chart 32%.
Okay.
Who else might be responsible in this scenario?
The person at the bus stop.
Yes. What percentage would you give them?
I'm going to take this 32% off and I'm going to give that person 97%.
Okay, and are we including any other factors in this? Is it just going to be the other person?
Other person, 97%. Bus driver, 3%. Me 0%.
Okay, good. You see, that's it. That's excellent. You've filled yourself in last.
Yeah.
Turns out,
yeah,
your responsibility in this scenario,
yeah,
is probably zero.
It's zero. But you know what's interesting? I went to see my therapist, who I'm seeing an awful lot at the moment.
Yes.
Some would say too much, but she's brilliant. And she said, we're talking about taking responsibility. And I said to her, I'm brilliant at taking responsibility. I take responsibility for everything. And I write emails to people and I will take responsibility for everything that's ever happened. And she said, that's not taking responsibility. And I said, it is.
It's taking too much responsibility.
And she said, the only way to take responsibility and truly take responsibility is that you tell the other person what they did wrong, or you ask them to be responsible for their part. Mm. So it's not, because she said, other than that, it's just self-blame.
Yeah.
But if you say to somebody, so I did this and I noticed that you did this,
mm-hmm,
they might never take responsibility for that, but you're still saying, I acknowledge that this is the way that you behaved and I didn't really appreciate that in my mind, because then you offer them the space to say, well, actually I was doing this, or I meant to do this, or I'm so sorry, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if they come back and they won't at all, then then you can kind of, I don't know, you can kind of move on from it.
Yeah, well, number one, be at peace with what your responsibility, personal responsibility, I think is important.
Yes.
And be at peace at what your part was.
Yes, yeah.
And that means being realistic in that, like, don't take too much responsibility.
Mm.
Try to be as realistic as possible, as this was my part. I fully own that. I did that. That's it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, don't be going, but should I have thought about this, or should I have maybe told them this in advance? That's their, they have to take personal responsibility for their, but can't force someone to do that. It's a big eye-opening choice to go, right, I'm going to take responsibility for all these things. But as long as you're not taking on too much of other people's.
No, I'm learning now. I mean, it's taken me a very long time, but it's taken me a long time. I keep saying it over and over to understand stuff like that. Because what I would do is, if someone was behaving badly towards me, I would try and go, okay, so what can I do now to stop that person behaving badly? But I would never kind of sit down with them and say, listen, I don't know if what you're doing is great, or does it make me feel, you know, I just would kind of try and never address the situation. Because I learned when I was a kid, it's, you know, you don't address situations. Mm-hmm. Or if I say I've got a problem, someone, you know, gives out to me, or I get shouted at, or, mm-hmm. you know, there was no room for me to have to be dissatisfied. Mm-hmm. So I find it interesting now that learning to call people out. I did it a while back. There was a guy who was texting me. And he had a relationship, and I said to him, I don't think it's appropriate that you're texting me. And he didn't handle that very well, you know what I mean? And I kind of thought, oh, well, that's, but at least it was kind of me acknowledging and taking responsibility and saying, I think I just want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Because also in that moment, it did look like I was saying, hey, I know that you're into me. I think that you're into me. And that's never a comfortable thing to do. But it's actually quite good if you're unsure of anything, just to ask for clarification. My best friend always says to me, information. It's all about getting the information. Mm-hmm. So if you can just say to somebody, this is how I'm feeling and mm-hmm. this is what's going on, and I think that maybe you might be doing this, then they can give you the information you need to be able to resolve that.
If they can give you the information.
If they're willing to give. If they're kind of... if they're mature enough emotionally mm-hmm. to be able to handle criticism or not even criticism, just even a question. But I always notice, and you probably get this too, that if I ask somebody a question and or say something to someone, they immediately get defensive. I kind of go, ah, now there was something there. Mm. You know, whereas if I ask somebody to clarify something and they go, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me clarify that for you. Mm-hmm. That's
Do you think some people are afraid of confrontation or don't feel comfortable with it?
Yes, I think, yeah. I mean, I'm very frightened of confrontation. Mm-hmm. But I think what a lot of people want in this world is to be able to get away with things and not be mm-hmm. called on them. Mm-hmm. And I think especially, and I'm not going to say it's like a male or female thing, but I think... in romantic relationships, I find it especially interesting that when you kind of say to somebody, this is what I want, or do you think that you were doing this in a very calm way, you do get a lot of defensiveness back up mm-hmm. if it's not the right person.
I think it boils back to, is a person willing to do the personal responsibility thing? Because it can be a bit of an ask.
Do you know, but the thing is, you know this, because we're very, we've known each other a long time now, and we're good at kind of looking at our shit, not in a metaphorical way.
Yes,
and just going, oh, okay, because you get to a certain point in your life, and you think to yourself, I can't continue on not looking at the stuff from my past because I've been shoving it all down here, right down the bottom, and I keep thinking, if I do that, it's not going to come up. And for me, I'd gotten to a point where it was coming up. It was coming. You know what I mean? It was like coming out of the sink. It was coming out of the bathtub. It was just all coming to get me in a Ghostbusters kind of pink goo.
Biting you in the bum.
Biting me in the arse all night long. And so I think it's when you want to kind of stop feeling like shit about yourself in your life, you do get to these moments where you go, I'm going to start looking back at things and the reason why I do things. And so kind of like why we're doing this podcast as well is because we're not afraid to go, oh, I think I'm scared of people missing their bus because way back when
I took too much responsibility for things.
Exactly. I completely lost my train of thought.
Look, it's all very flow.
It's just, listen, this is all loosey-goosey. But yeah, sorry.
So it's
hard for people to look back. It's hard for people to ask questions about themselves because it's not fucking pretty to go back and look at that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, and if you're in any way not happy or you're not dealing with things, pushing them down just means they're just going to find a way to come up in some fucking way, shape, or form.
It's going to sabotage you later.
Exactly. Mm. So,
but back to personal responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah. The pie chart.
The pie chart.
I'm not saying that's the be all and end all, but it
helps. No, but it's a good tip. And also, it's you did a great thing with your hand there.
Oh, sorry, the lights just went off. It's fine.
We do have a little lamp, so we can see each other.
It's fine. No, it's... It's just so dramatic.
Yeah.
Oh, the lights just went off.
Oh my god.
Especially, you were just talking about Ghostbusters, and I
know the pink goo. This is the pink goo is coming to get me. The pink goo has turned off the light.
Oh.
But yes, there's pie chart, Romulus, whatever it's called. Rhombus?
Rhombus.
Oh, what's Romulus?
Ooh, Romulus and Remus, fictional founders of Rome. Crikey. That's me doing a quick fact check, probably wrong in my head.
Well, let's just say that because I have no idea. Rhombus. Rhombus is
R-H-O-M-B-U-S.
Cool. him.
No, that's not a him. A rhombus is a thing. It's a shape. I want to get a picture. I'm just Googling a picture of rhombus. And, okay. And is there an actual H in it?
Okay, yeah, you yes. do that.
Yeah.
That was a very quick Google, Phil.
Yeah. It's... It looks like a diamond.
Well, then whoever was telling you that a circle was like a rhombus can fuck off.
No, that was me filling in gaps with words. That's... Yes.
Do you know what you're doing there right now? You're taking responsibility.
Well, I'm owning that shit because I don't know if you know by now. I do a lot of exaggeration and a bit of elaboration when I recount stories.
That's called being Irish, Phil.
I'm trying to stick as closely to facts, but in order to make a story or an anecdote just about 15% more interesting, throw in a bit of flavour.
Flavour.
But I stick to the facts as much as I can, I can remember them.
But also, I mean, when you're from the storytelling past of our forefathers, you will embellish because...
Totally.
There's a difference between saying there was two people coming up the road and 40 million up the road. And 40 million sounds better.
Yeah.
Jesus, there was 40 million people in the pub last night.
If in doubt, exaggerate to bejesus and then just make it as flowery as possible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Why not?
That's how we life built short. Our great nation. Thank you very much. So that's my worry of the week.
Yeah, I think that, I know how many times have I said responsibility pie chart in one sitting, but...
I think people are, you know, need to hear it, basically.
It's a lovely reminder. If you find yourself getting stressed out about going, what should I do? What should I do here? Do your quick responsibility pie chart in your head or on a piece of paper and you'll quickly find out, actually, do you know what? Maybe I don't actually have to do anything. Exactly. I can actually walk away and go, that's them.
That's them. Or and also, if you're feeling just a little bit more fantastic, you could do a responsibility rhombus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're still working on 100% though.
Yeah. I mean, the percentages don't change.
No.
Just the shape of the chart.
Yeah.
Up to you.
Yeah.
I mean,
for ease, I'd go with the pizza chart, though.
Yeah, because it's a neater, isn't it? It's neater.
Visually, it just makes a little more sense if you're visual in your head, the way I am.
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, Philpa, what is your worry of the week? You're looking through your book. It feels very organised. She's got a book of worries.
It's not just that. It's that I've got a very bad memory.
Ah, yes. No,
so
me too.
If I don't write things down, it never happened.
Are you learning a language at all, Phil?
I am. I'm learning French on Duolingo.
Oh, I'm learning Italian on Duolingo.
Yes.
Buongiorno.
Bonjour. There you go.
Yeah. Similar, aren't they?
Yeah. I almost ran out of health this morning. That gives you a quick worry, doesn't it? Because you're like, I'm not spending gems on that.
I've got
nearly my 10 minutes. I've nearly my quota hit for the day. I don't want to be spending gems now at this hour of the morning.
I want that little fucking parrot with his headband coming in giving me shit.
He's an owl. Is he?
He's an owl.
Yeah.
I said parrot. I think I meant owl.
Owl. Why? What's the language? Does that help Italian. With memory?
Yeah. The little owl says... Which me and my friend call him Coach. coach.
No, his name is Duo. These are things that you pick up along the way.
I was slightly angry there, but
his chair has no back. And nearly went to the floor.
Oh God!
You call him Coach Duo. He has a headband on, which yes. suggests, and a whistle.
Does he sometimes have a stopwatch?
No,
he does have a stopwatch from time to time. He doesn't use it.
Yeah,
he never uses it.
I've never seen him use it. He's just holding it. He wears it around his neck like your average person wear a lanyard.
Which would suggest he is a coach, because who was it else wears a whistle around the neck?
I like the name. Yeah, Coach is a good name.
Apart from like somebody who's lost in the wild, apart from the two kids from Bird Box or Sandra Bullock, she had a whistle around her neck. Maybe he's in Bird Box.
Maybe he's the bird in the box, is he?
He could be.
Was there a bird in a box?
There was a bird in a cage.
This is my memory. This is my memory.
Listen, but you're learning. And so anyway, we haven't even got to the... You're worrying. I'm bombarding you with...
Yeah, here's one. Talk. I was walking... So I moved house in the last year and a half.
Wait.
I don't know if that's... thank you for that. But I don't...
It was a congratulations.
Yeah, but it sounded like someone's done well at done a good bit of stand up at a gig or something. And I'm like, oh, thank you though. Caught me unawares. Can you do it again?
Wait.
Nice. Yeah. So I moved house in the last year and a half, whatever. And I only moved down the road.
Yes, I know.
But I don't know. Do you notice this? That like, couriers, they work their own. They work at their own certain little patch.
Now you say couriers.
Courier.
I would say courier.
Courier.
I think let's do both. But courier could be. I like it. It sounds courier. American.
Does it?
He was a courier.
Courier.
They have their own patch.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That they stick to their own little zone.
Yeah.
Because, in my old house, the same guy used to come to the house and I was always home and I was on the ground floor. So he used to knock on the window and say, can I leave in stuff? And I would put stuff in the house for other people.
Oh.
So we got to know each other by name and whatever. And since I moved, obviously I don't see him anymore. There's a new courier on the patch. But basically I was walking to the train station one day and I saw the old courier on the street with his van.
Yeah.
And I went, I know that man. So from ages away, I kind of started smiling at him, going, I know you. You know this. Oh God, I'm so embarrassed. I don't want to tell this. Anyway,
no,
I was walking along and there he was at his van with the parcels and I was smiling from way too far away and I was like, hi, kind of waving, smiling. Yeah. And as I got closer, he was looking at me, smiling at him and I was smiling more and nodding my head going, hi. And he was like looking at me going, like, I don't know. Like, obviously, he sees 100,000 people every day.
He needs to locate you in your home. Is that what, you know, for him?
Or I'd say he didn't know who the hell I was. Do you know?
But it was, sorry.
It would have been months since I'd seen him previous.
I'm interrupting you, but continue on.
No, like, I would have seen him months previous. Yeah. It would have been a big old gap.
Mm.
And he sees maybe hundreds of people every day through his work. And so I recognise him and I'm kind of smiling and waving. He's looking at me going, who are you? Hi, how do I know you? And anyway, we're getting closer and finally I'm kind of like parallel to him, but I'm across the road and I kind of wave across. And instead of saying hi, I just go, I know you. God almighty. And he goes, yeah, hi, yeah. And I go, yeah, hi. And I'm smiling at him and he's smiling at me and he goes, yeah, hi. And I go, hi. And then we walk on and I keep walking and I'm like, yeah, hi, yeah, bye. And he just gets in his van and he drives away. And then as I was walking on, I went, oh God, I've just grossly offended him. Just by being weird. Just by being a weird kind of, because I can do 100% awkward at any time.
Mm.
I'm kind of, I have.
Yeah, I get that.
I have awkward coming out of me. And so I went for an aura reading and she said, I didn't get any colours, I just got awkward. And your chakras are kind of singing out at me and they're just saying awkward.
Awkward.
And I was like, yeah. That's a lie, actually. I didn't get it in red.
No. In case some chakra reader somewhere is going, I don't, that would sound
that's
very
not possible.
Unprofessional.
That's not possible.
It's just, for me, the only awkward bit is that I know.
I know you. You don't say that to people. What I should have said in the scenario was, hi, nice to see you again, but whatever.
But what you were doing, probably your mind, is that thing of speaking before your mind is fully connected, is what you're saying is, because he's looking at you in a way to say, I don't know you.
Yeah.
You're saying to him, I know you.
Yeah.
You're trying to make it fine that you're saying hi. Now, I would say this, right? I'm sure he does see an awful lot of people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do recognise somebody that whose name you know. Do you know what I mean? Like, it might take a second or two.
Yeah.
But like, the other day I was in an office, I was having a meeting, and in the middle of the meeting, the guy I was having the meeting with went out to get some coffees and stuff, and another guy just walked into the room and was looking at me, and I was looking at him, and it took me like 2 seconds to realise that like 6 or 7 years ago, we did a gig in Sweden together.
Mm.
We did an ad, and I spent the week with him. It was like a tourism thing, so we went everywhere together. Yeah. And he was great, but it took me 2 seconds for me to go, oh my god, it's Matthias, like it had completely gone out of my head.
Yeah.
And that was like 6 years later. So if you're just talking like a year and a half or whatever, he's not on your route, that's fine. But like, he knew, even if he was kind of going, I can't remember her name, but I know who she is. So I don't think that you were awkward or off by just going, because like, he might not be able to place you for a second, but you, unless he's got face blindness, and that's a thing, that could be an actual real thing in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I don't understand how he completely forget who you were.
No, it wasn't that. Well, number one, I was across the road, and maybe he couldn't. I don't know. But anyway.
He could be short-sighted. I know I am.
Yeah, me too. No, that's not true. I'm not. I'm long sighted. Oh, I don't know anymore. I don't know.
You're one of them.
I have eyes.
You have eyes.
No, but I was walking away, I was just worrying, going, Did I just freak that poor man out by being kind of awkwardly and weird? And then I kept walking and I kept walking, and I was worrying about it a bit more. And then I went, no, he was smiling.
Mm-hmm.
He waved back.
He waved back. There we go.
He said, hi. I don't think he recognised you. That's fine. And he didn't seem to be put out, really. Just me maybe just worrying over nothing and kind of being a bit hard on myself.
I think you were probably being too hard on yourself. But I know what was going through your mind, because you want, when you recognise somebody, and I get very excited when I
this
recognize
is it,
someone.
You see, because you live in London,
mm-hmm.
you now and again might see someone on a rare occasion that you recognise, and you feel like going, hi, hello, hi.
Yes.
A familiar face, hi, hello. So I was caught up in that in the moment, because I rounded the corner and there he was, and I went, I know him.
Also, if you have a relationship with a courier, or I, in the last place that I lived, loved my postman. I've never loved a human being before in my life. He was great. I didn't know his name. He didn't know my name.
Yeah.
But me and my best friend lived there as well. We would just go, I hope the postman comes today. Because he would be like, I have an addiction that I'm a bit of a spender. Online shopping. And he'd say to me, another package. And I go, I know, I'm terrible, stop. It's just clothes. I don't even know why I buy them. And we'd have, you know, we'd have extreme bants, as the kids would say.
Yeah.
And I miss him every day of my life.
Well, you see now.
So if I saw him, I know I would get super excited.
Absolutely. If you rounded a corner and there he was, and he was a familiar face, wouldn't you go, hello?
Phil, not only would I say hello, I would stop and say, oh my God, how have you been? It's been ages. Yeah. So the fact that you just gave it, I know you.
Oh,
I said that a little bit threatening.
I just wish I'd said hi instead of, I know you. Yeah.
I know, but I think you look, that's what, look.
Look, at my age, I'm still working on my social skills. Every day is a school day. I'm still working on my social skills.
But the thing that I think about you that you should know is that you're very good socially. You're a delight.
Do you think?
Well, I've always thought you were a delight.
Have you seen me work a room?
No, because I didn't leave the house. You work a room. Well, I think about the first time that we met each other. Now, who was socially awkward in that situation, Phil? I think it was me.
No.
I came at you like some... So,
no.
Guys, backstory. I fell in love with Philippa on the television when she was in a show called The Walshes. And I moved towards the screen when I saw her acting. And I think I covered my eyes and went, she's for me. That one is for me, right? So I was gone. I did a tweet.
Oh.
I said, who is this woman?
Did you?
Yeah. I said, I need to find her.
Did you?
I did, right? I was gone, smitten, right? Okay. And then I can't remember who, somebody replied. Somebody told me what was going on. Then I was doing an episode of a sitcom and Philippa came with,
to view us.
With the gang, with the Dieter Worms gang. And in the, and I even said during the rehearsals that week, Philippa's coming. Oh my God, I love Philippa. I was so, oh, I was God. Beside myself. And then Philippa's in the green room afterwards. And I see
hiding,
her.
Hiding behind a couch.
And I sidle
no,
up to
no,
her.
This is what I was doing in the green room. I know you. Just pointing at people going, I know you. I know you. Yeah, because they're on the telly.
And that's how you know. I wasn't put off. I sidled over and my hand came through the crowd.
Oh yeah, we were standing in a circle.
Yeah.
And then a kind of Go-Go Gadget arm came through. You're... It just kept going.
Until I found your hand. It was an extension.
Well, when I saw who was at the other end of that hand, well, I grabbed it and I nearly kissed it. We did that thing where you go,
But I think I said, and this is the most mortifying thing I've ever said to anybody in my life, Philippa, big fan.
I know you. I know you. I know you.
And I remember going, because you were very nice, but you were very shy.
I'm a shy person, I think.
Yeah.
Deep down, no. It's okay, if I was a pie pizza chart,
yeah,
50% shy, 50% awkward. A winning combo.
I think it's...
With a stuffed crust of weird.
No. But yes, so me, when I met you first, I felt like that was embarrassing, but it was just because I was really excited to meet you. I think that when
likewise.
You're...
Likewise.
When you're... Oh, friend. But when you're excited about seeing somebody...
Yeah.
I think that's fine. I think if someone doesn't meet your excitement, it doesn't mean that you should be shamed or feel
worry
bad.
About it.
Or worry about it. Yeah. Because, do you know what? What if we all live this life not being excited?
True, actually. Yeah. Is it better to be excited and to maybe... use the classic phrase, lose the run yourself for a minute.
Sure.
Or just turn the corner and ignore him. Yes. Which person would you rather be?
Yeah, exactly.
The person who, out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the person who puts the head down and ignores somebody that you recognise by sight.
Mm-hmm.
Or the person who goes, hi, I know you, hi.
Do you know what I realised living in London town?
Mm.
Is that people don't do that like, hey.
Oh, right, yeah.
People are too, and I mean, I was at a birthday party a couple of years ago and met this guy who I hadn't seen in a really long time. And I said to him, oh my God, hi, how are you? I haven't seen you in ages. And he went, oh, I didn't think that you'd remember me.
Aww.
And I was going, we'd done Edinburghs together and yeah. stuff. And I was, I think that people do, and it's my, you know, like your greatest fear.
Mm.
Like my the things that I tell myself, the Dolores, the woman who lives in my brain, who's always really nasty to
right.
me. She always tells me I don't matter, that everyone forgets me.
You're invisible.
I'm invisible and that I'm not good enough. Those are the three things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the same for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Did he think he was invisible, that he wasn't worth remembering?
Yeah, or like I'd forgotten about him. And I was kind of going, oh, that's weird, because I just think that, and I've said this to you before, I think I walk out of a room and people go, who was in here? Did she had big teeth and she was...
No.
From Ireland, I
know. No.
So, you know, that's when you have that fear of just not being memorable.
Yeah.
So I think that your enthusiasm for the Courier,
mm-hmm.
that's nothing but... Because in that moment, even if it took him a while to register, he realised that you remembered him and that you had an impact. He had an impact in your life.
Mm-hmm.
In a positive way.
He was part of the routine there for a while.
He's part of the routine. And also, you know, when you're excited to see someone and you're happy to see them and they make you smile, like, that's a good thing.
Pass that around.
Pass it around.
Because then, going back to your friend that you met at the party and you thought, oh, I didn't think you'd remember me, isn't it nice to let people know that you remember them? Because likewise, wouldn't you like to think that you've been remembered somehow?
Yeah. I really like when people say they
just
remember me.
Just put out there what you'd like to get back in return. Maybe.
Yeah. And also when you are, because sometimes I've been at a party and seen somebody, or been on a road and seen somebody and been like, oh, that would be, if I do a hey, I don't want them to exactly what you said, like the big fear of you go, hey, and someone goes,
no. Oh God.
Jesus.
Keeps walking.
It's the fucking mad Irish one with the big teeth. So there's been times where I've kind of gone, oh, I won't do that. But then I feel like, once somebody just has the nerve to go, yes, I'm having this experience with you. I'm happy to see you.
Mm.
It's a better thing than two people walking by each other and going, oh, why? That's Although there's a hilarious thing that happened one time when me and the best friend were on the tube, and we got on, there was no spaces beside each other, so no seats, as they call them. So we sat kind of far apart from each other. And as she sat down, she realised she's sitting across from a girl that we went to drama school with.
Oh, right.
And she was the year ahead of us. And the best friend is sitting there for a while. And because I could watch it, because I was quite far away, it was absolutely brilliant. And she's kind of looking at her and then kind of looks at the ceiling. And then I can see that, I'm going to do it. And the girl had headphones in, and the best friend tips her on the leg.
Yeah.
And she takes the headphones out, kind of looks at her, and she goes, hi, we were at drama school together. And the girl just looks at her and goes, I know. And puts the earphones back in and just leans back. So the best friend's now sitting forward, like awkward as it's just the most awkward thing. And at the next stop, the two of us just stood up and got off the tube, and then like, basically howled with laughter. Like, we didn't even look at each other, we just stood up, because she was like, I knew telepathically she was saying, I can't sit this all the way to Oxford Circus. Yeah. I'm getting off now. But it was the fucking gall of your word going, I know.
She just didn't want to converse.
And also I thought, well, good for you, because do you know what you just lost out on? A bloody delightful conversation, because the best friend can do a chat for all ages.
Chat the leg off you.
Chat the leg off you, make you feel like it's your birthday.
Mm.
Well, you've missed out on that, lady. So yeah, you don't want to be that person. You want to be the best friend, not the person who puts the earphones in. I know. That one can go and suck one all night long.
God.
I've told her, Phil. Sorry, now I feel like I slightly hijacked that.
Not at all. No, that was it. That was it. Like, it wasn't, it's not like I went home that evening.
Yeah.
And I did a big old worry about it, going, I wonder, did I weird that man out or offend him or anything like that?
That was the best day of his bloody life.
But no, I did a mental conversation with myself as I walked away, going, well, did he look offended? Mm. Did he voice any kind of like, hey, don't talk to me kind of an attitude? No, he didn't. He smiled and he kind of waved back. So I think you're okay there.
Yes.
I think you're okay. Thank God I could park that, as my mother would say, park it.
Park it. Leave it here.
Leave it. Because you don't want those worries that you pick up, you know, because up until that moment, everything was going fine. I was walking somewhere.
Yeah.
somewhere.
Just going on your big walk somewhere.
I might have even been going on a big walk. And everything was going fine. And it's good that I didn't, you might be having a, oh God, this is such a ramble. You might be having a good day, and then maybe halfway through, something will happen and you can pick it up and worry about it for the day.
Phil, that's my life.
Yeah. So I put a stop to it. I parked it and I went, I've done a checklist of three things.
Mm-hmm.
Did he look offended? No. Did he look annoyed? No. And I think he was smiling and waving back in return. So I don't think, that way I could park it. I could park the worry and get on with my long walk.
Did you do the last one going, where am I going on this actual walk?
Yeah, what am I doing out of the house? This is weird. You don't leave the house. What are you doing? Are you sure?
Get back in. Get back in.
Are you sure about this? I can't ask myself if I'm sure about anything, really.
Oh, because no.
Chances are I'll get back. No, I'm not sure of anything. Let's go back in the house.
Unless I have to now drop down into the middle of the belly, into the depths of the belly and say, now,
into the gut.
Into the gut and say, ask yourself this question now. Mm. Ask yourself from that place.
Mm.
And that place is undeniable. That place, you know where the answer is in that place. It's very much like a yes or no answer. You can't be going to it. You know, should I get...
That's where that magic eight ball is wrong.
Yeah.
Because it gives you these kind of...
Come back later.
Neither here nor there question answers.
That, yeah. No. It's a bit like when you watch tarot card readers on YouTube and you think, this can't be for me. I don't think any of this is happening. I don't think my baby daddy is getting out of prison.
Right.
But I'll go and meet him.
Yeah, the gut never tells you. Come back on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, another time.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're leaving it there, aren't
we? That might be it now. Yeah.
Now, I just want to clarify something. We say at the end of these episodes, please write to us at weheartwarrior@gmail.com. But we haven't put out any episodes as of yet. So in case you're listening and going, why are they not reading it? Nobody's writing in. You could have written in. And be wondering why we're a few episodes in and we haven't read any out.
Yeah. We don't know anything about that yet.
We don't know anything.
That's the future.
That's the future. But look, we're very excited for the day we get an email if that day comes. So keep writing in. Because in a way, it's a little bit like saying, I know you.
I know you.
I know you.
encourage that.
Do that in email form.
Yeah.
Because it's the braver and best thing to do.
If you please.
All right, well, we'll see you soon. Take care of yourselves, right?
That's it.
See you.
Bye.
I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monk.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic.
Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page?
It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question. If you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosec.
Available on all your podcast apps. That's not my... just
can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.